As has been alluded to this whole service, Advent is, yes, a time of preparation, but it's also a time of remembering the good and the bad and everything in between. Preparation and memory, you see, they go hand in hand. When setting up the tree a couple weekends ago, we were reminded of that time it came toppling down, right? And so it might be a good idea for Wally, if you come get a close look, to secure it with some wire so that that didn't happen again, in hopes that it wouldn't happen again. And maybe you're with your families this week. Maybe you baked a pie or helped cook a turkey. And what did that require? Well, it required a little bit of remembering. Remembering all the ingredients, remembering where you put the items in the cupboard or pantry after coming home from the grocery store the week before, the mistakes you made from last year, as well as the successes. If you're anything like my family, how so-and-so's recipe is definitely preferred to you-know-who's recipe, right? No one makes green beans quite like my Grandma Janet, and no one else should. Remembering in hopes that celebration will be better and better year after year. We know that remembering, though, the lessons from those two that are no longer present at the table. Some sad along with the some joy-filled memories. My parents and I cleaned out a box of memories this past week while I was visiting them in Kansas. It was a box filled with all kinds of paper, old report cards and tons of art projects, you know, handprint turkeys and self-portraits made of beans. However, one of the most special items that I found was this wooden clock. It was made by a woman named Ella Mani when I graduated from high school. I had sent her an invitation to my graduation, and she had cut out the Rome High School logo and emblazoned it here right on the clock. Ella was an amazing woman who died last week at 101 from complications. 101, yes, that deserves applause. 101. From COVID-19. She taught my dad and all three of his other siblings, as well as practically the whole of Hamilton and Kearney County, Kansas at one time. And when her eyes, she taught them how to sew. And when her eyesight started getting bad, she switched over to woodworking. And so she started teaching the next generation how to woodwork. She set up a shop in the garage, and every 4-H'er from within a 50-mile radius of her house learned how to cut and sand and saw, if she had anything to say about it. She also played the organ most Sundays, Miss Denard, in their small community church, Kendall United Methodist Church. She showed up week after week until the day she died, with a bright smile of her face and the joy of the Lord. And she'd arrange the Paraman's Carol, and she'd start the prelude. I was talking to my aunts and my cousins about her life and their lives and how they were intertwined. We were indulging in 7-layer cookies made from a recipe, and they were talking about their struggles with finding jobs and health issues. Yet how they found in Ella's memory, in her determination, inspiration. Remembering the ways she'd just pivot. When her eyesight got bad, she just pivoted. How she'd pick up new hobbies, and when she could no longer do the old ones. Her joy in the midst of difficult circumstances. In her memory, they found hope. In memories, there's often lessons of hope, right? The first chapter of Luke's gospel begins not with a genealogy or the birth of Jesus, as Matthew's gospel does, or it doesn't entirely skip over the birth of Jesus, as Mark and John do. But it begins with a tale of two priestly people, Zechariah and his wife, Elizabeth. Elizabeth is said to be a descendant of Aaron, the ancient leader of the Israelites. Zechariah is a priest from the priestly division of Abijah. Yet one day, while in the midst of his sacred duties as a priest, one of the most sacred duties as a priest, Zechariah was preparing the incense offering, and an angel of the Lord appeared to him, startled him. The angel said, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayers have been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will give birth to a son, and you will name him John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many people will rejoice in his birth, for he will be great in the Lord's eyes. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before his birth. He will bring many Israelites back to the Lord our God. He will go forth before the Lord, equipped with the Spirit and the power of Elijah," one of those good old prophets. "He will turn the hearts of fathers back to their children. He will turn the disobedient to righteous patterns of thinking. He will make ready a people prepared for the Lord." The angel says all this, and Zechariah looks at the angel and goes, "Are you sure? Do you know how old my wife and I are?" And the angel says, "Oh, but I'm Gabriel. I stand in God's presence. Do I look like I'm kidding to you?" This is good news. But because you didn't believe, you're going to be silent, unable to speak until the day all of this comes to pass. And what do you know, though? It happened just like Gabe said it would. Zechariah was struck mute, and Elizabeth becomes pregnant, well over 80 years old. 9 months later, she gives birth to a boy, and her neighbors and relatives come to celebrate. On the eighth day, as is Jewish custom, it came time to circumcise the baby boy and to name the child. And the relatives all wanted to name him Zechariah. Relatives always have opinions on babies' names. And they wanted to name him Zechariah after his father. But Elizabeth said his name would be John, and they were still like, "Are you sure? John? Where did John come from? No one in our family is named John." So Zechariah starts frantically looking for something to write on, and he finally finds a tablet, and he writes, "His name is John." And suddenly, he's able to speak again. Suddenly, when he says that this boy's name is John, he's able to speak again. And the text says all the neighbors were filled with this awe, this wonder, and everybody throughout Judea too. And they said, "What then will this child be? Indeed, he has God's power." And so Zechariah, filled with the Holy Spirit, prophesies. He prophesies this message, our focal text for today. John's father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Bless the Lord God of Israel, because he has come to help and has delivered his people. He has raised up a mighty Savior for us in his servant David's house, just as he said through the mouths of his holy prophets long ago. He has brought salvation from our enemies and from the power of all those who hate us. He has shown the mercy promised to our ancestors and remembered his holy covenant, the solemn pledge he made to our ancestor Abraham. He has granted that we would be rescued from the power of our enemies so that we could serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness in God's eyes for as long as we live. You, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way. You will tell his people how to be saved through the forgiveness of their sins. Because of our God's deep compassion, the dawn from heaven will break upon us to give light to those sitting in darkness, to give light to those sitting in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide us on the path of peace. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. The prophecy which Zechariah speaks at the end of this first chapter of Luke, in many churches, is called a song, the Benedictus, or blessing. After the first line of the scripture, blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. In addition to forecasting the future ministry of his son, John, Zechariah's message is interesting because it's filled with many references to the past. Did you catch all of them? A horn of salvation, the house of David, prophets of long ago, the holy covenant and Abraham. It seems to be as much about assurance as it is prediction. That despite all the apparent novelty of the moment, an elderly woman giving birth to a boy, a mute man's speech returning to him, Zechariah seems to imply that all this is precedented. We should have seen it coming. As Amy Jill Levine writes, despite the newness of the Christmas story, Zechariah's song reminds people of the rock-solid base, something he had previously forgotten himself, right? Nothing. When the angel Gabriel came to tell him his wife Elizabeth would give birth to her son in her advanced age, he doubted. Are you sure, Gabriel? He had forgotten about his ancestor Sarah, who gave birth to Isaac at age 90. He must have forgotten about Rebecca as well, who married Isaac and was childless for 20 years before God blessed them with Jacob and Esau. Zechariah has learned from his mistakes and is now preaching to his neighbors. Nothing is unprecedented for God, he says. Nothing is unprecedented for God. He lyrically recounts how God has acted in the past in order to explain the promised future for God's people now. Our people were once slaves in Egypt. We were once in exile, but God delivered us. God equipped us as disciples in God's service and is bringing a Savior from the house of David. Do you remember? Do you remember that? There is something about our memories, isn't it? Not only your memory and my memory, but our collective memories. That when we recall where we have been, or where our neighbors have been, we become clearer about where we are going, right, Ruby? They may be sad memories, they may be painful memories, but all the same, memories have something to teach us. Remembering Ella Mani helps my cousin keep up that job hunt. Remembering how we managed to survive previous variants of COVID will help us navigate the new ones, right? How we maintained our connection in isolation, how we wore our masks and washed our hands, how we meditated and took frequent breaks to ward off that Zoom fatigue. How we remembered when we were not, how we remembered how to conquer the pandemics from the pandemics before. Remembering civil rights movements and evangelicals who have banded together around faith and freedom since the 18th century. Helps us navigate and engage in protests against injustice in hopes of change today, right? Zechariah sings this song about never forgetting, about preparing for the future built on the lessons of the past, lighting the world from the light of the world. Atlanta First UMC is in the midst of an exciting, affordable development and housing project. When people often hear about it for the first time, they seem shocked about its revolutionary nature. Yet I was standing next to Pastor Jasmine not too long ago, explaining to a new visitor to the church how it did not merge ex nihilo. It did not come out of nothing. Revolutions and God-sized visions don't just come out of nothing. But she explained how this church has a history of launching initiatives for public benefit, how members grew Grady Hospital, the Emory University healthcare system, how the church has worked tirelessly to educate children and served as missionaries across the world. You have clothed the sick and the underhoused. And when several years ago an individual died on the front steps of this church, you all decided enough is enough. We can do something about this. And from the memories of the past rose and is rising a bright new future. The dawn from heaven breaks upon us to give light to those who are sitting in darkness, in the shadow of death, those struggling to find childcare, those struggling to find affordable housing, those struggling to survive the harsh winter weather, those struggling with loneliness, anxiety, and depression. Light will come. How do we know that light will come? Because light has come. This is the first reminder of Advent. This is the reminder of hope and the coming of Christ, the meaning of our memories. We light the world from the light of the world. Most light comes from light that existed in the past. Did you see how Jeremy lighted from the altar candle? The light that would light this candle of hope. The altar candles were lit first so that the light of hope could be lit. In remembering the stories of Jesus, of our Jewish ancestors, of the prophets before, of our family members, of our church siblings, our neighbors, of the ways God has worked through the world in the past, we find possibility to persevere, to create paths of peace in the future. And we remember we are never alone. The great American composer Stephen Sondheim died on Friday at age 91. In one of his most famous musicals, Into the Woods, he wrote a song called No One Is Alone. Re-listening to it this week in his memory, I was struck once again by the lyrics. Maybe we forgot. They are not alone. No one is alone. Hard to see the light now? Just don't let it go. Things will come out right now. We can make it so. Someone is on your side. No one is alone. No one is ever alone with memories. People have come before us, have lived through social unrest and pandemics, silence and grief, joy and labor pains. If they can do it, so can we. The future is bright because from past light, we light. This is our hope. This day and every day. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen.